uninformed, but he is informed. There's not nothing that slides by him. There's not nothing that has took him by surprise. He sees it all. He feels it all. And he knows it all. He's the I am. He's the great I am. Ain't you glad of that tonight? Ain't you glad you serve a living Savior? Ain't you glad you serve a God who knows exactly where you're at tonight? And I bless His sweet name for that. I'm glad that I'm saved. I'm glad I'm born again, washed in His blood on my way to heaven. I appreciate the good singing tonight. What a blessing. I'll fly away. I appreciate Brother Tim. I love to watch Brother Tim get up to serve the Lord. He gets at it. It ain't like he's going to a funeral. Amen. We're serving the King. We're serving the highest of the highest. And we ought to act like it. We ought to be listen, I'm so blessed tonight to be able to stand up here and speak the highest name that there is to speak out of mortal blips of clay. I'm here to tell you tonight that I'm the most blessed person. I'm blessed beyond measure because I get to even say the name Jesus. And He is King of Kings. And He is the Lord of Lords. He is glorious. He is wonderful. He's the mighty God. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the all-powerful one. He's the mighty God. Amen. And I'm glad that He's my Savior. Amen. Thank God, thank God. One of these grand and glorious days, I'm going to lift up out of here. I'm going to light up out of here. And I'm going home to a better place. Glory to His name. Ain't you glad you're saved tonight? I'm glad. I'm so glad. I'm not in some dried up, dead religion. But I serve a living God. I serve somebody who is alive and He's well. He's alive and in charge. Amen. He hadn't lost the battle. The devil has not given him anxiety. But he's alive and he's well. And everything's going according to His will. Hallelujah to God. Bless His name. It's good to be saved. Amen. I'm glad tonight, and I don't know about you, but the devil comes by my way every once in a while, most of the time, and he wrings my neck. He tells me everything but what's right, sometimes all day long, all night long, can't go to sleep, and he'll wear me out. And I'm talking about till I'm wore down to a nub. And I'm telling you tonight that He'll get you defeated. He'll get you discouraged. And when God comes by in the midst of all those difficult times, in the midst of all those hard times, and He shows His face. He just showed me His face a while ago. He just showed me a little bit of His glory a while ago. I think I'll enjoy it. I think I'll just give Him a little praise tonight for just being God, for just being good. Amen. Bless His name. Hallelujah to God. Bless His holy name. Amen. Ain't nobody like Him. Ain't nobody like Him. I'm just glad I know Him. On a sunshiny day, you can see that big ball in the sky and you need your sunglasses, don't you? But on a cloudy day, it gets dim and dark, and when that sun just peeks through them clouds a little bit, it sure does feel good. And we live in a time to where it's real cloudy on the outside. It's real cloudy, and boy, when the sun peeks through, I want to enjoy it. I want to feel them rays on me, amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Glory to the King. Hallelujah. Ain't He good to us? Ain't He good to us? Amen. Hallelujah. Just think, one of these days, thinking about Kyla Rowland. My goodness. but on to be with the Lord today. And them songs, somebody said today, as when I heard that, they said them songs are a reality now. My goodness, I know how I made it. Think about, well, one of these days soon. Well, life is so short, but boy, the end, the last chapter is the sweetest chapter. I'm saved tonight. I'm on my way to heaven. I've got some good chapters. I got some bad chapters, but I'm glad I've got a final chapter. Yeah, man. Ain't you glad that there is an end to the story tonight? There's an end to the story, and it's a sweet ending, amen. It don't end in disaster. It ends in sweetness and blessedness and gloriness. I'm glad that we're going home soon to a land that's fairer than day. Bless the Lord. Alrighty. What time it run? We are, ain't we? Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3. I just want to share with you a little thought here. And you pray for us. I have not studied this like I should have. I have jotted some things down and thought over it a little bit. Daddy called me on the way home from work and asked me if I would preach. So, Revelation 3. I want to preach on, or I want to teach, or whatever, however it comes out, I don't know what you call it, on the last three doors in your Bible. A matter of, it's the last three, it's the only three. The word door is mentioned four times in the book of Revelation. It's the last three doors in your entire Bible. And I want us to look at them and sort of get a glimpse. And we're going to, you hang in there, we're going to look at some ugly doors and we're going to look at some pretty doors. But what we can look here, first of all, let's get right in it. First of all, I want us to look in Revelation 3. We'll see this first door in the Philadelphia church age. The Bible says in verse number 7, Revelation 3 and 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, and he that is true, and he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. Here it is now. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. An open door. And I look at this door here that is set in front of this Philadelphia church age, and I have to look back all the way back in time to the beginning of the church there in Ephesus and Smyrna, and we see those two great churches there and how that there's a good testimony back then. But we go through all of those dark ages and we see a very dark and dismal time from Smyrna really all the way up until this Philadelphia church age, a little bit into the Sardis church age there. And it's a dark time. So we see here that God sovereignly steps on the scene, I believe, with all of my heart. And He opens the door and sets it right down in front of a group of people that would have went another 1,500 years in darkness if God had not come in and set His foot down and opened the door. But we see a time here, and we must understand this time. It's amazing to me how pretty much before this period in time, the biggest invention there was a wheel. But now we can fly to the moon. We can go to Mars. We can transplant hearts. We can do all kinds of things. We've got all kinds of inventions. When prior to this time, there's pretty much the wheel. And there wasn't much out there. So let's look at this door here. We want to look at this and call this the sovereign door of revival. We know that there is a sovereign act of a holy God that stepped down into mankind's dwelling. And He set a door here, and some things passed through this door. I believe that, first of all, I believe it was a door of revelation. It was a door to where we know that when the Bible was written, the New Testament speaking was written, it was capsulated there in the Ephesus and Smyrna's time. And the Roman Catholic Church captured those originals, and they kept them, and they would hide them from the people, and they would not let the people learn the Bible. They would only allow the priests to know the Greek and Latin languages so they could teach the Bible and keep it out of the hands of everybody else. Hence the Dark Ages. But here, there's an open door of revelation. Around 1440 something, Gutenberg invented the printing press, but it didn't get to England till in the 1500s. And when it got to England, guess what? There's a king he was from Scotland, he was about to become the king of England after Bloody Mary. And here, he's about to take the throne, and there's something God's got in store for him to do. And it's to translate the Bible into the English language and get it all over the world. Well, what else is going to happen around this time? There's a group of people that's going to decide that they want a new land. And they're going to get on the little ship called Mayflower. And around 1620, they're going to land on Plymouth Rock. When the 1611 King James Bible was printed, 9 years later, they took off to America. Isn't that amazing? Why is that so significant? Let me tell you, because out of America, this is where God birthed revival for the world. We've sent missionaries to the four corners of the earth, and God opened the door so that the world could hear the gospel. What a blessing. And so, here we are, a door of revelation. It's a door also of reformation. As Tyndale, Wycliffe, and Luther, and they all stand up against the Church of Rome, the Church of England, and I believe it's Wycliffe is burned at the stake. Tyndale is killed and buried, and his body is exhumed, and his bones are burned. And I could have them back as I'm reading off a very feeble mind tonight. Luther nailed the thesis on front of the church. And these folks are reforming. And God has opened the door here. And there's a time of reformation taking place. Now listen to me. It's not only a door of revelation, of reformation, but it's also a door of regeneration. During this time here, it's the most amazing. You should read for yourself some of what they called a revival. Now we think, now I'm going to tell you something. We've been in some great meetings. I've been in some places. I've been in some meetings to where I didn't know where to sit down, stand up, shut up, or shout. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost glory of God fell. Folks getting right with God and saved. But I've got news for you, Brother Lee. I really don't think I know nothing about revival. I've read stories of the Welsh revival, the Lewis Islands revival, of Evan Roberts, of different ones that slip my mind right now. But I've seen these people, stories of people that would pray for 10, 11 years. Two sisters prayed for 15 years for revival. And God called a man to preach. And he preached. And thousands would get saved. These old revivals. I'm talking about a sovereign move of God. when a holy God comes down and decides, I'm putting my foot down right here and I'm fixing to do something. I've read stories about in the Welsh Islands how that them preachers would pray. And I'm not talking about, little prayers like we pray. And I'm not going to shame us, but I am going to shame us. Because our prayer life stinks. Amen.
Yeah.
Let's just say, oh me, and be honest with the Lord. It's just us in here tonight. And if you get your feelings hurt, I'll let you slap my jaws after church. If it'll make you feel better. But our prayer life stinks, really. But these folks would pray. And God would come in and they would literally shut down the bars. They would close the doors down. The bartender, out of fear of God, would close the bar down. And I've read, they said they would shut it down. The bartender would say, listen, I'm so nervous. I'm so anxious. I'm scared. It's closed. Get out of here. And they'd go out into the streets and they would literally weep and crawl hunting where God was. They'd go to the meetings. Preacher a lot of times wouldn't even be able to get up there and preach hardly anything. And they'd flock to the altars. They'd stay in there till 1 o'clock. They'd beg them to preach 4 or 5 times a night. Amazing what the... I'm talking about a sovereign revival door. This is something only God can do. This is the time. This is the time when we know about Moody. This is the time he lived in. Spurgeon, we all know those familiar names. Evan Roberts, Duncan Campbell, Livingston, Wesley, the Wesley brothers, all these guys. And all the great Watchman Nee, all these great men all over the world. This is the time when God come down and he started birthing souls. Regeneration. Then we see this sovereign door of revival. But let's go to our second door. Let's go to our second door. And I believe it's pretty much the same door, just a different facet. Just a different glimpse of it. And what happened here with this door, I believe the Lord will let me say, what happened here with this door, this sovereign door, is somehow or another man got a hold of the doorknob. Now, this door is mentioned here in verse number 8 of chapter 3. But we've seen here as God moved through the land and people wanted God and people needed God. You know what our problem today is? We don't need God. And that's a fact. You can dispute it and you can say, oh, yes, I do too. If you needed God, you'd act like it. Look at the pews in here. I'm telling you like it is. I know what I'm saying. We don't need the God that we say we love. As we go into chapter 3 and finish Philadelphia and go enter into this Laodicean church age, remember all the inventions I spoke about? Pretty much you had a cart with 2 wheels on it and a horse in front of it. You was technology bound back then. I mean, if you had a horse with a nice leather saddle, you was top of the line. But nowadays, we've got cars that drive themselves. We've got everything that we can imagine at our disposal. We don't even sit in a room that's not climate controlled. We have everything and we don't need nothing. Is that not exactly what's described in the Laodicean church age? Let me tell you something. As big as God is, here's our problem today. In America, in the world, our problem is not a problem with filthiness. It is a problem with laziness. It's a problem with complacency and not needing God. Because God, I promise you, God will not take a back seat to nobody. We are the creation. He's the creator. He's God and I'm the creature. I need Him and He will not let me play God. You want to find your life and your family in a mess? I'm going to tell you exactly how to do it. You put yourself at a place to where you love yourself more than you love God. You love yourself. You love the things of this world more than you love God. And you'll find yourself in a bigger mess than you'll ever get out of in 20 years. And I'm telling you the truth. I don't care if you don't like it. You've got to have God. It's just like a wheel with an axle stuck through it without any grease. It'll run a little while, but it's going to lock up if you don't grease it. He is so important. He is necessity. He must be had. We will not survive. This second door is, I'm going to call it the sad door of religion. Watch your Bible now. Next time the door is mentioned, verse number 20. Behold, I stand at the door. Now how in the world, from back in verse number 8 there, where He set before these people, He set before mankind, He set before the church an open door, but now He's standing at this door and it's shut in His face. Explain that to me. Let me tell you what happened. As John addresses this church of the Laodiceans, it answers it there. You want me to tell you why Christ is standing on the outside of the door tonight? You want to know why He's standing on the outside of the door of the church tonight? It's because it's our church. That's a fact. Bible says you can't dispute the Bible. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, every other church describes it in Smyrna, in Ephesus. So our problem tonight is we've taken over the church. Now I'm not speaking about this, I'm talking about the church. Mankind has taken over the church. And Brother Ken will agree, there is some in here. They say, listen, what we need to do is hand Him back the reins. This is God's deal. Honey, I'm a preacher, I'm an anointed, called man of God. My daddy is, Brother Ken is, but they'll both tell you that they're nothing without God. And this is God's business. This is God's house. This is God's organization. This is God's organism. And He runs it and calls all of the shots. And where we've messed up is we've got in here and we think we know how it ought to be run. We think we know how it ought to be done. And we stepped in and we've messed up and we've offended the Holy Ghost of God. And He's on the outside of the door and He's not coming in. Because He's not going to be affiliated. He's not going to compromise like you and I would. You see, if me and you got in an argument, this, that, and other, we'd probably come to a compromise agreement. But the fact is, He's not going to argue. He's right. He's righteous. He is holy in everything He does. And He's right. And He's not going to argue with you. He's not going to argue with the church. He'll step there. He'll stand there like a perfect gentleman. Allow you to shut the door of grace in your own face and separate you from Him. And that's why we are in such a filthy, low-down mess today. What we need tonight is to fall on our face before a holy God and beg Him for mercy. It's a shut door. This sad door of religion is a shut door. But I notice it's a separating door. He said, I'm standing at this door. He said, I'm even going to knock. Ain't that sweet of Him? He ain't done nothing wrong. Why should he be knocking? Why in the world? Let me ask you this, and I don't care who the most spiritual one is. If you think you're the most spiritual, raise your hand. Why in the world would God come to you and knock when you're the one that's turned your back on Him time and time again? Yeah, you may be on fire right now. You may have everything going for you right now. But let me ask you something. Why in the world would God give you the time of day? The fact is that we like sheep have what? Gone astray. All of our righteousnesses as filthy rags. For we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You listen to me and listen to me good. Your heart is as carnal and as wicked as your neighbor's heart. You're made out of the same clay and same dirt. You've got the same ancestors in Adam and Eve. And listen, without the grace of Almighty God, we'd all go to hell. And that's a fact. God never wrote this Bible for you to use as a competition guide to compete with one another in here. We're not in competition in here. We're in here. The reason I want to live right is because Jesus loves me. This I know. And no other reason. He's worthy of that. That's why. Now listen to me. It's a separating door. It's a shut door. It's a door of shame, and it's a door of sadness. It's a door of shame. What a shame it is to read. Let me read this verse to you right here. I'm about done. Because thou sayest, verse 17, I'm rich. Listen, can you see that in today? I'm rich. I'm increased with goods. You want to know why? Listen. You want to know when I was closest to the Lord in my life? When I was struggling. I remember my name is Double Wide Payment. When we first got married, I think I made $10 an hour. Thought it was good money. My payment was $288 a month. And it was tough. Tough. And I remember that God, Brother Lee, would let things get... He always has taken care of me. But every once in a while, He'd let it get real tight. Where I wouldn't forget where my altar was. And you know what? I'd get it down that altar. And I'd come back down to earth. I'd say, Lord, I can't do this no more. I can't even pay a $200 payment. And sure enough, when I got my head right, He'd help me out. That's what we're missing today. Brokenness. Humility. It's what we're missing. But you can't buy humility down at Walmart. This door here, he says, I'm rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing. Knowest. Now here's what scares me. And knowest not that thou art wretched. These are harsh words. Miserable. Poor. Blind. And here's the one that scares me to death, knowing what Revelation speaks about is nakedness. You know what that means? That means lost. The white raiment in your Bible. White raiment is the fine linen. The white raiment is the righteousness of the saints. There's a crowd in this Laodicean church age. Now, there is a remnant that's born again. But I'll guarantee you there's a crowd in the church of the Laodiceans that's lost and knowest thou not. They're playing church. They come, don't give a fat baby about what goes on in here. If a church shut down tomorrow. You can believe it if you want to. If the church shut down tomorrow and we wasn't able to have church again, there's a big crowd. Not everybody, but there's a big crowd that lose about 2 hours sleep out of it, and they'd go about their merry life. And that's the truth. And it's sad, scary. A sad door of religion. But I do see this in this sad door of religion. It's a swinging door. It's a swinging door. It ain't locked. Ain't that a blessing? It ain't locked. How many times, I'm going to confess and be honest as I can be, how many times in my personal life, I'm a part of the church, how many times have I been going about my merry life, just a whistling Dixie, just, you know, happy-go-lucky, and all of a sudden I hear this. And I'm so stupid, I say, what in the world is that? And the next day come around and I hear something else. You know what I've realized? I've done pushed God outside the door of my life. I've done put Him in a place to where I don't need Him. I'm rich, increased with goods. I got everything I need right now. I ain't got to get out there in that cold building and pray. I ain't got to go do this. I ain't got to go see them. I ain't got to give this. I ain't got to do that. I got it whooped right now. I'm going to take a break a little while. You know what he does? How many times have I had to go to that door and take that knob and turn it and open it up and say, Lord, I sure do miss you. And there's sometimes, I'll be honest with you, he ain't just going to step right in. He said, if you'll open, he said, I'll come in and sup with you. But he didn't say, I'll come in immediately. He said, I'll come in. But there's times where He'll let you sit out there and He'll let you hunger for Him. He'll let you beg for Him. Boy, but when He comes in, it sure is sweet. There's so many people nowadays, and I'm nearly about done. There's so many people today that's miserable. I mean, I can see it in your face. You know you are. There's people that's depressed today, discouraged and defeated, people suicidal, people that's out of their mind crazy. You know what the problem is with the people that's saved that's like that? They're missing that fellowship with Jesus. That'll fix it. You got a problem in your life? You can try everything you want to do. You can buy you a new car. You can buy you a new truck. You can buy you a new boat. You can buy you a new toy. You can go get this. You can go there. Tennessee. Go to Florida. Go wherever. Get you a new condo. Do whatever you need. But I'm telling you, it's not going to do anything but put a little Band-Aid on it. What'll fix it is Jesus and sweet fellowship with Him. That'll take care of it all. It's a sad door of religion. Lastly, the last door you'll ever see. We've seen the church age end. Chapter 4, verse 1. After this, I looked and behold, what? A door was open in heaven. Ain't you glad of that? Ain't you glad there's one more door? I feel like I've seen that revival door through books. I've seen it through my prayer closet. I may have even seen a little bit of that great revival. May have seen some of it in certain meetings. And I know for sure that in my life, that I've taken that door and shut it before myself and shut God out of my life. So I've seen that door. But there's another door that I have yet to see. One of these days, I'm going to stand in front of the last door that I'll ever stand in front of. Hallelujah. It's a sudden door. It's a sudden. You know what sudden mean? Let that word sink in just for a minute. It's sudden. Faster than you can snap. Faster than you can blink. I'm talking about quicker than lightning, green lightning. It is a sudden door. One of these days, you're going to turn around and you're going to look and blink your eye and you're going to be at the last door that you ever seen. Ain't it a blessing? Hallelujah to God. Thank God we're right at the brink of this thing ending and going home. What a blessing! What a blessing in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound. There's people in here that's going through things. Some would love to be here tonight, but can't. These people that's going through things tonight that I've wept over and praying about it because I feel so sorry for them. These people hurting right now. I mean, Brother Tim, these folks literally hurting. These folks that's crawled up in their altar and cried and asked God why. This COVID mess. Wuhan virus, China virus is what we'll call it. Straight out of hell. These people that went to the graveyard up here and all across the land. That's hurting. There's people hurting tonight. But one of these days, hallelujah. Thank God, thank God. One of these days. One of these days, we're going home. If I was He-Man, I'd chunk this pulpit over through that wall just to make a mark. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved, and I'm glad that the next door is just around the corner. It could be tomorrow. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's enough to shout about. Thank God. What a blessing it would be. Wouldn't it be a blessing if I didn't have to have another day with this stupid thing right here? This thing goes off. There's somebody on there right now. Boy, one of these days we're laying it down. Hallelujah. You can have my job. You can have my house. You can have everything I got. I've got so much better coming. It's a sudden door. It's a sovereign door. It's the only door to the kingdom. There ain't no back door. Amen. This is the door. This is the only door. There ain't a crowd coming in the back door. This is the only door. Everybody that gets to heaven is going through this door right here. Hallelujah. It's a door with sound. There's a lot of doors down here that squeaks. That door ain't going to squeak. When that door opens, them old hinges over here, I guarantee you can hear them things. Sound like a cat screaming. Whew. But when the angels grab them double doors and swing them open, them hinges is going to sound like trumpets. Whew. Can you? I wish I had a trumpet. I'd blow it right now. They'd swing them doors open. We're going to hear a trumpet sound. It's going to be so loud, it's going to rattle the mountains. It's got sounds. My goodness. It's a door of separation. No more sin. Thank God. No more sorrow. No more sickness. No more sad days. No more storms. Hallelujah. You that battle, you that fight, you that's got health problems, you that's got family problems, you that's got whatever your problem is. If you ain't got this problem, you've got this one. If you don't like your problem, go talk to somebody. They got another flavor. But it's all trouble. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. One person may have a pile of money, but he suffers in another area. One person may have this area covered, but he may not have no money. Everybody's got a trouble. Everybody's got a problem. Everybody's got a son. Everybody's got a daughter. Everybody's got a mama or a daddy. Somebody's got something that's troublesome. But one of these days, you're going to step through this last door. And there's going to be a relief come over you like you ain't never felt in your life. I'm talking about like, whew. Anybody ever done that? What a relief that's going to be. It's a door of splendor. It's a door of splendor. Thank God it's going to be heaven. And it's a door of my final start. You see, it's a door that's an end. But it's also a beginning. Them doors in that vestibule back there, if you're going this way, it means you're ending the sanctuary. But when you step over that threshold, you're starting into the foyer. When we hear those doors swing wide open, them trumpets sound so loud, we're going to somehow immediately be there at the threshold all at one time. I can't explain all that. And as soon as we step out of one, we're stepping into another. And we're beginning something that has no end. It's called eternity. Now, I want to ask you this. And I want to encourage you tonight. I want to ask you, are you born again? Are you born again? I'm glad I'm saved tonight. Have I done everything right? Absolutely not. Most of y'all know my past, my history. I'm as wretched as the most vile wretch there is. I've done a lot of wrong. But there's one thing I've done right. In 1981, July the 29th, I fell down at an old-fashioned altar. And I cried for mercy. And there was a big old God reached down in the biggest stink. And He saved me. He saved me. And when it's all said and done, that's all that matters. I know how I made it. I made it by God's amazing grace. I read Revelation 5. I'm trying to hush. Read Revelation 5 and I see that multitude. 10,000 times 10,000. And thousands of thousands singing a new song about redemption. And you know what I've tried to fathom? That number, and I've tried to put it in my mind. Picture heaven and the streets of gold. I've tried to see the heads out in an ocean of people. And boy, I've thought, you know what? What a blessing just to be there. If I may be way back in the back corner. And that's fine. I ain't got to be up front, Brother Lee. But I'm going to be way in the back. Brother Kevin, I'm going to be way in the back back there. But I'm going to sing my part. Because I know how I made it. I made it by God's amazing grace. Oh, glory to His name. Thank God one day we're going to sing. Just beyond that door. Father, thank You.